sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hour, it's Zolak and Bertrand. Felger Mass coming up at 2 p.m. I'm telling you right now, two things can happen in the opening week of camp that'll make everybody feel better. One, Gronkowski gets a contract. Great sign. Gronk gets a new deal. That means he's fully buying in. It means he's not retiring. They're not going to trade him. It means he's back on board. The other thing is Brady confirming 45. Now, he's probably going to talk somewhere around August 3rd. That's his birthday. He's talked a lot on that day over the years at camp. If he says, you know, hey, Tom, what did you mean by the 45
right
response to ESPN? Does that mean you're playing until 45? And he answers with, that's my goal. I hope so.
That's what I've said all along.
Perfect.
Right.
Feel better on that front. I don't know how we're going to feel better if the power struggle angle of all this is true. And according to Greg Bedard, it's very true. It's very real. Nothing was resolved with that meeting that they had after the season ended. I don't know how we're ever going to feel better about that. Or we're going to have evidence of it improving.
You know, money fixes a lot of things. Tight end's happy. You know, I think he shows up. He's rambunctious. He's excited. You know, he feels happy. You know, happy's a big thing. Capital HAPPY. That doesn't feel free because they lock you up. Right? Now they own you. Now they got you. But, I mean, what's his window? It's got to be 3 years, right?
Who?
Talking about the tight end. Number 87.
Oh, yeah, sure. It's not five, six years.
Yeah, but it's not 5 years.
But it means he's not walking out the door this.
Correct. Listen, this isn't going to be a year-to-year thing with these two players.
So if he didn't have a new contract, is there not a risk that he has the same thoughts, feelings, emotions that he had a year ago, which we heard from Tommy Curran? Tommy Curran has reported on this extensively, that last year during camp, he thought about quitting. He didn't know if he was going to be able to go through with another year.
Yeah.
The retirement thoughts started to creep into his mind during camp a year ago. What if that happened again and there was no new deal?
What was that, week four, week five, where he stood there in a post-game press conference? He said, sometimes you just don't feel right, like you have everything. Like you don't have it all. You don't have everything in the tank. He was feeling crappy that first part of the season. He came on like gangbusters, though. Is it because they didn't let him lift? Is it because he did things the way he wanted to, even though they didn't like it? And they removed their guy from the sidelines. That's all in play. I mean, Kern's been good on this. He has from day one. You know, there's rifts here with the tight end going back all the way to camp. But man, can he play when he's right. Boy, can he play when he's healthy. And you need him more than ever now without Edelman. How do you feel better about this team? Do they have to go 3-1 through that 4-game stretch? They go 3-1 without Edelman. I think people are all over him. All over him. Wagon, heading there again. AFC championship bomb.
Here's what Bedard had. According to multiple sources, nothing has been hashed out among the three of them. Brady, Belichick, Kraft. At least at this time.
Maybe not all three at once. Meaning together.
Well, he says they're not all on the same page. And he says that could certainly change as they come off vacation ready for the season. But sources say the more likely scenario is that things are worked out slowly during camp or not at all. Belichick continues to be irritated that Kraft has increasingly interjected himself into areas that were largely Belichick's domain during his tenure with the Patriots. That includes the owner's deference to Brady and his role in the retention of Josh McDaniels. Brady's role in keeping McDaniels. Karen Garrigan of the Boston Herald also has that at the 11th hour, Brady stepped in and probably made the case to ownership. You got to keep this guy. I need the buffer. I need my guy. Leave me on an island with Bill.
And you got to help me on this one because I got to double down on this because you took my guy away in Alex. Alex was really my buffer, my true buffer. He was my Mr. Miyagi. He's the guy that kept me whole, kept me sound, kept me feeling good. You take him away. Now I got to work extra hard to find time to make it with and away from the team with this guy. That boy, I really need Josh there. Josh is my mental buffer every day.
And he says the quarterback is at odds with Belichick for multiple reasons, including Brady's security not happening, no new contract. And Greg, I believe, reported before that Belichick may have stepped in the way of that happening. The trade, this is going back to before the trade of Garoppolo. Also, the team's handling of Alex Guerrero and Belichick's refusal to generally give Brady some veteran leeway as he approaches his 41st birthday.
See, and that's part of the
problem
there, too.
Don't you call bullcrap on that, though?
Well, yeah, because,
you know, he gets more leeway than anybody else on the team.
He sure does, and that's why he had Alex to begin with. But this goes back to last year where, okay, we're not going to give him that extension. And I really heard from people close to Brady that there was an extension coming down after that Atlanta game, that that's what they were expecting. And I know we run some of that here on the station and rejoins and stuff where you have me on saying, hey, I guarantee there's going to be a 2-year extension coming for Brady. So if Belichick wanted to see how much he had left in the tank and see if there were any issues in preseason and those first 8 games before he had to make that decision with Garoppolo on Halloween, Brady, the problem was Brady carried this team through the first 8 games. This team had issues. You had injuries. You had guys going down. Edelman gone for the season. You had to revamp the offense. The tight end didn't feel good, but your 40-year-old quarterback was the only one that felt good and was carrying this team. And you had no choice but to stick with him. You wouldn't be in a Super Bowl if you didn't stick with him.
And Bedard says Kraft has tried to play the role of peacemaker, but his role as Brady's biggest enabler has largely compromised him in Belichick's eyes.
So here's another problem, too. If you want to say, I want to take another close look at Brady and we don't want to commit to him past here, past 41, you going to bet against the guy again? See, that's one thing that Brady has proven. Don't bet against me. Don't bet
against
me.
There's only, you know, in all of this, as Greg's headline here on bostonsportsjournal.com, he says Robert Kraft needs to get the Patriots Trinity on the same page. That's not exactly an easy gig.
See, and
how do you do that?
And at what point, you know, Robert, at his age, and as you sit here and you look at how this business and the brand runs itself and how big, you know, the Krafts have gotten. At some point, Robert wants to enjoy this ride, don't you? Instead of having to be the peacemaker every day, it's wearing on people. When you're caught in the middle in situations where people aren't getting along, whether it's a show, whether it's people you work with, whatever. I mean, we do it every day in work.
Right.
It wears on you mentally and physically. And at some point, Robert's going to want to enjoy this. You should be enjoying this ride right now. You have the best coach and the best quarterback of all time. And you could say you're the best owner. Maybe that's why the best owner would make it work, because you find a way to make these two guys coexist. There's got to be a point in time where Robert's got to be exhausted by trying to be the middleman. Hey, and I'm trying to be the guy that's bringing two guys together, two massive egos, but for the betterment of this team and this brand and this organization. And I've paid those guys well. Bottom right corner.
Who do you think is the most angry out of the three?
Brady.
Yeah, it feels that way.
It feels that way. It feels like Belichick has more than turned the page. Belichick went to the podium prior to the draft and said, just remember, this is voluntary, this workout, this offseason. When has he ever done that?
He's got issues with everybody. He's got issues with the coach.
But
he's probably got issues with ownership over not having a new contract.
Yeah. But is Belichick?
He wants his money. He wants his trainer. He wants veteran leeway that apparently he's not getting enough of.
Who's worked hard this offseason?
Like,
not to say Brady hasn't
veteran,
worked hard.
If you're talking about veteran leeway, you could say, hey, Gronkowski doesn't understand why he can't work with Guerrero. He should be getting the veteran leeway. Yeah. He can make a case. Brady gets to work with him. They let him in the building for him.
Right now, Hogan's your number one receiver. Say you tweak something in camp. What's he going to do? Say you tweak the groin and you're Chris Hogan. You're going to go get treatment every day? You're going to run upstairs? You're going to try and get you-know-who to fix it? I think he's running upstairs to get you-know-who to fix it.
Let's get a couple calls in here. Tom in Worcester. Hey, Tom.
Tommy.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up? Bud?
Yeah, by the way, McCollum didn't seem to attach a couple of years ago with the Green Deal Y in Worcester, but that's another story.
What?
I'm sorry?
You say McCollum was, he says he's attached. See, but I just see him at the Y. He didn't see him attached back then.
Oh, anyway. Go to the Y in Worcester.
The Y, you hitting on people at the Y?
Oh. Worcester guy.
Oh, Young Men's Christian Association?
Yes. But that's another story. That's not why I called. So, listen, are you buying this Tiger Woods Humble Pie Tour? I mean, you're talking him up like he's...
Yeah, I mean, I just want him in it. That's all. Okay. I want to watch golf.
You know, he's still a dick. You know that.
Yeah. I think we all know that, right? Like, no pun intended, but the tiger doesn't change. The stripes of a tiger do not change. We know Tiger. We know what Tiger is.
Isn't that a Wiggy quote?
I don't know. Whatever the hell it is. What do you want?
Where is Wiggy?
What do you want? 1-5,000?
On my first day here, I haven't seen Wiggy.
They keep him away now. I don't think
he's not here.
They didn't want
he's
him.
He's not here. Wiggy wouldn't leave me hanging like this.
They did not want him in the building.
If he were in the building
the day we kicked off our simulcast.
He'd come see me.
Yeah.
I'm friends with Wiggy.
I love Wiggy.
There's some tension between the two of you, though.
No tension.
Yeah, really? Yeah, there is. Oh, there absolutely is.
That's the athletic part of it.
Yeah, these two guys, former players, they like to, under the radar, take small little digs at each other. They both do it. There's an uncomfortable tension that exists between you and
I'll go to war with him.
So we'll make a dig about, you know, oh, the concussion lawsuit, or you got Wiggy taking a dig about you sucked as a quarterback. Yeah. I actually played. Yeah. Like, there's some stuff there that goes back and forth.
It's okay.
I'm friendly with both of you, so I don't get in the middle of it.
Right. Do you ever go on a boat trip with Wiggy?
No.
No?
We will not talk about that.
We'll talk about that.
We will not talk about the boat cruise. 617-779-0985. Your calls and a thought on the Red Sox coming back on the other side, Zoe, because I think at some point I'm going to be impressed with this team.
When?
I can feel it coming on.
When?
I don't know. Let's try and figure that out.
Okay,
next.
Good.
So, at the Beatles. Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
That one popped up into right, and that should do it. Nunez on the back pedal, and the Red Sox win this one, and they take another series. The final score here today for Alex Cora and the Sox, 9-1 over the Detroit Tigers. Chris Sale pinning down win number 11, outstanding once again.
The one thing I did see some of while I was off, so was the Red Sox. It was the All-Star break, so there weren't that many games. But I was watching the Red Sox, keeping up with the Red Sox.
Nice.
I'm telling you, man, it's just enjoyable to watch Chris Sale. It just is. He goes after guys. He attacks hitters. He doesn't waste time. He doesn't waste a lot of pitches. He's different than a lot of guys in Major League Baseball right now is what he is. He's different than a lot of guys. It's been enjoyable to watch Chris Sale. And yesterday, he had another good one. Red Sox win again. And the Red Sox are now 5 games up on the Yankees in the American League East. They were 5.5 games up for a day.
Right.
And at that point, you know, the Yankees have lost, at that point, lost like 5.5 games in the standings in like 16 days. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Red Sox have created some breathing room in the American League East. And on top of that, they're 4.5 games up on the Houston Astros if you're just looking at where they stand versus the other two teams in the American League that are good, right? We know the 3 good teams,
okay.
Red Sox, Yankees, Astros. When I said going back 2 or 3 weeks, you know, I've yet to be truly impressed. I think the Red Sox are a great team, but there isn't a whole hell of a lot of it that was like truly impressive because they hadn't created any separation. Well, now they have. They're starting to create separation. The Red Sox just keep winning and winning and winning. And the Yankees haven't been terrible. The Yankees have been like 500 over the last couple of weeks. It's not like they've fallen apart.
Yeah,
they haven't gone on any sort of losing streak.
Well, that's what created the separation. This is why you circle August 2nd, August 3rd, August 4th, August 5th as maybe that's the swing time as to where you feel really great about this team and everybody's
on board.
If
they steamroll the Yankees.
I had this discussion with Jim on the way in today, and Jim's like, what the hell is it going to take for people to get on this team?
So here's what I think it's going to take. It's going to take a better record against the really good teams. So they're about 500 against the good teams. It's going to take more wins against the good teams, and I think they're going to have an impressive regular season, regardless of what the outcome is in the playoffs. Now, we're all about the playoffs. We're all about what they do in the playoffs.
I think we're all about the Yankees in the playoffs.
Avoiding that. But I think there is going to be a point. I think I'm going to get to a point where I say, wow, regardless of the outcome, this has been a great season. I'm not sure they're there yet.
You can't say that if they get popped in the first round.
Maybe you can. Maybe they have a great first round series against another good team and it goes down to the wire. I think there is a way it can happen. I'm not so sure I thought that.
Okay.
At an earlier point.
But you mentioned Chris Sale to start there. I think there are 3 really good things that you are all in on, really all in on, saying this is why I feel different about this team. I think number 1, it's Chris Sale. Number 2, and a very close to the MVP type season that Mookie Betts is having. Like you talk about, those two guys aren't going to get overwhelmed playoff time. It seems like they're going to be ready to go. And number 3 is JD Martinez in the middle of your order. Other than that, I don't know how I feel about the rest of the team. I guess okay.
Good tweet from Pete Abe last night. 2017 through 21 starts for Chris Sale. Mm-hmm. Last year through the first 21 starts, he had thrown 148 innings, 148 and a third. He had thrown 2,311 pitches. 20 starts to that point with 100-plus pitches. Can you believe that? 20 of his first 21 starts last year had 100 pitches or more. I did not realize that at the time. I did not realize that until I saw that tweet last night. That's a crazy number. 2018 through 21 starts, 135 innings, 2,124 pitches. Of the 21 starts, 12 have had 100 or more pitches. So it's been better managed. Eight fewer starts with 100 or more pitches.
A manager fighting for his job versus a first-year manager.
Yep. Or a manager that is managing for 162-plus playoffs as opposed to every single day.
It was just last year he broke the strikeout record, right, in Baltimore?
That's a different issue, though. That's not because it's a manager fighting for his job.
Still, it's another element to last year.
I'll tell you what. I admitted after I was wrong about that. I was. I didn't think it was a big deal at the time. I was proven wrong. I admit I was wrong. I don't think that would happen now.
Beetle, come to Jesus today. Huh?
I've already admitted that. That's in the past. Wow. I've already admitted I was wrong. I admitted I was wrong on that months ago.
Yeah.
I think I admitted I was wrong about that last October when they went into the playoffs and he wasn't the same guy. This year, you've got a better chance of him being the same guy. So that's a plus, is it not?
Yeah, it's a big plus. A massive plus. A
couple of other things. Trade market, to this point, very active. Things are happening on the trade front. Where the hell are the Red Sox? I keep seeing every day a new report. A guy the Red Sox had interest in is moving. Oh, another reliever is traded. Where are you at, Dave Dombrowski? You got a week to go. Come on.
You're going to be getting outbid by everybody.
Chop, chop, let's go.
You don't have the pieces to do anything.
Do you feel like the Red Sox have gotten close on any deals yet?
Granted,
they got plenty of time, but the market seems to be happening sooner rather than later. I don't know what kind of big deadline day we're going to have. We've already seen deals going down left and right.
I mean, you look at a team like Cleveland. Can they beat you on? Do they have enough pieces? Probably.
The Oakland A's are buyers. Like, there's weird things going on in this market.
Yeah.
And I would hope the Red Sox get in on it soon.
Worst thing for you is they have multiple teams going after somebody because that drives up the price.
Big reason why? If you were counting on Tyler Thornburg to be a eighth inning guy, you can add him to Big Jim Murray's, what is it, Wheel of
Pukes.
What is it called? Like the Wheel of Suck?
Yeah.
What does he call it?
The Alex Cora.
Gutless Bums.
Gutless Bums. Wheel. Put him right on there.
The best team in baseball with a 70-win
record. Like another Jag reliever.
Has a Wheel of the Gutless Bums. Jesus.
I don't think you're going to be able to pencil him in as an eighth inning guy in a playoff game. Just a hunch when you're giving up home runs to Jose Iglesias? Like that to me is a bit of a problem.
But this is why I think people are hesitant to jump all in and be on board. Saying definitely this is the year. This is the year. They're playing great ball. They're playing great ball. You can't refute that.
Yeah, you gotta go out and fix but and they add to that
Detroit.
Bullpen. You've got to go out and
beat Detroit.
The
do something against the Yankees. Now
no
Jim,
way around
Jim disagree
that.
With me on Jim, you said if they sweep the Yankees, that you still don't think people are gonna be all in?
I said, if they win the series, if they sweep four games, yeah. But if they win the series 3-1,
yeah.
What changes? What changes about your feeling in the playoffs?
You
haven't bought in by now, then
better.
You're not going to be bought in
because your record is improving against the good teams.
You're not .500.
It's simple.
You didn't split the series.
So one series. If it's a 2-2 series, you feel differently than if they win the series 3-1.
You win the
that's
going to
change
bit.
Your outlook on these the playoffs. One
three
game
biggest
in
series
not,
coming up.
Not hugely, but it will be a trend in the right direction. But I think what Zoe's talking about is a 4-game sweep. Then you've got no reason not to.
Right.
You sweep
if it's
them.
A 4-game sweep, I can see that.
I think
especially if Price pitches well. That's big.
That's huge.
Let's go to John in Rockland. John.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey.
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 How are you?
How are you?
Good.
Yep.
All right, thanks for the call,
thanks
John.
Thanks for the call, John.
Let's go to Mike, who's on the pike. Mike on the pike. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm never home during the day, but flipping through the channels. I like it. It looks good. The studio looks good.
It's nice. Put a lot of work into
glasses,
it.
But behind the mic, they make you look a little like Jim Jones. I'm expecting an answer to say live from the jungles of Jonestown.
Nice.
Go in there, Bertrand.
Drink this Kool-Aid, everybody.
Yeah. I'm wondering what's in Bertrand's cup there. I'm a little nervous for him. But anyways.
Vodka tonic.
I think the stock,
a 3 or 4. He's a logo on that.
There's no telling if David Price is going to keep pitching the way he's pitching. Who knows about Pomerantz and Wright? But that kid Fairs, Mike Fairs, he beat us the other night in Detroit.
Yeah.
I like him. He's not under a lot of control for Detroit. We probably could pick him up for a song. I think we need somebody in the back end. And then I don't know about these relievers, but we got nothing in the farm system. We're getting beat out every day. Another good reliever is going.
They need good relievers. They do. They need that. They need it for the eighth inning. I'm not as concerned about getting a starting pitcher, third or fourth. No, I'm not worried about that. They've got good depth in the rotation. Mm-hmm. They need to fix the late innings. That's what they need to do. 617-779-0985. Today's takeaways at 150 today. While I was away, Rob Manfred went after Mike Trout. Did you talk about that at all?
Yeah, we did a little bit.
You had to have. It was a dead week. All-star.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, and I watched part of the ins and outs of some of the home run stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, and the actual all-star game. And it seems like if you watch Trout, he's interacting with people. He's smiling. He's joking. He's doing a dance. Seems like he's got more of a personality than we give him credit for.
Quick thought on the all-star game, Trout, Manfred, and your calls coming up after headlines.
Miss something?
So what happens now?
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Zolak and Bertrand on Boston's Home for Sports.
The marketing of our players, raising their profile, growing their brand is a really high priority for us. And I think where Mike is relevant, our ability to do that in today's world is dependent on one thing. Player marketing is dependent on having a player. I think Mike Trout could raise his profile tomorrow if he decided that he wanted to engage a little more fully, give up some more of his free time. And that's his choice. I mean, that really is his choice. What player marketing takes in today's world, you got to be willing to be out there on social media. You got to be willing to put yourself out there, and you have to devote time to it. And we do think about it, and it is a priority for us.
Commissioner of Baseball, Rob Manfred, talking about the biggest athlete in the game, Mike Trout. Manfred on Trout at the All-Star game. Sounds like he's taking a shot at Mike Trout for not putting in more to player marketing.
Putting
himself out there.
Well, that's a complaint from most people, whether you're a baseball fan or not, that you don't know Mike Trout. You don't know anything about him. That he doesn't have a personality. I compared him to Shoop from Vision Quest. You know the wrestler? You ever see that movie with Matthew Modine?
Okay.
Yeah. He's Shoop.
Here's what
big,
I can tell you.
Big, impressive guy that you know nothing about.
Here's what I'm going to tell you.
What are you going to tell me?
His comment, he doesn't even realize how sad his comments are and how poorly they reflect on the sport. He's upset that Mike Trout, who I agree, best player in the game, but he's a single player out of 750 in the sport, for apparently not doing enough on social media or not doing enough in marketing, whether that be commercials or videos or whatever it might be. So the accusation might be true. Maybe Mike Trout doesn't care to do all that stuff. But doesn't that reveal this comment in general? That Major League Baseball doesn't really believe they have too many of these guys to begin with? Like, if he's that upset about one guy in Mike Trout, he doesn't think there's that many players in his league that people would become enamored with, even if they had all kinds of exposure. And I also think that Rob Manfred should realize that you can't market something to popularity in sports. You can't say, I'm going to market Mike Trout. I'm going to put him in every commercial. He's going to be out there on social media. He's going to have all this engagement with fans, which, by the way, he has a ton of. Because as this has now played out over the last week, you get countless videos and photographs of Mike Trout engaging with fans of the sport. You can't market him to the point where people are going to be interested in Mike Trout. In the 90s, there was no social media. And you could pick out on any given day, you could name 12 superstars in the sport of baseball. Because why? People were into baseball. People had a thirst for baseball. Late 90s, post-strike. Everybody was into baseball. 98 was huge. McGuire, Sosa. But you could go down that list and look at, let's say, I always go back to this because for me it's just the peak. 99, All-Star game. How many stars were in that game? How many stars were in that home run derby? The game was littered with stars, and none of them had a social media account. It didn't exist.
Neither did Jose Canseco, yet you knew who he played for. You knew what town he lived in Florida. You knew his wife's name. You knew they had matching BMWs that they crashed
into
each other.
But do you know why?
You know all that.
Do you know why? because you wanted to know.
Right.
Because you were desperate to know. And so it eventually got there. Mike, is anyone clamoring for to know more about Mike Trout? Like, do you care to know anything more about Mike Trout?
No.
I don't.
No.
I think he's a great player.
Do you want to know more about
Bryce
Harper?
Enjoy watching him play. Not really.
He's sitting there with a headband on, and he's got this sleeve thing on his arm and all that, but that's kind of cool. Yeah, you're different. You're a bro. You're a hardo, sort of.
And I just think
that is, like him.
That is totally lost on Manfred in this entire sport. Like, it doesn't matter if Mike Trout does one commercial or 100 commercials. You got to have people that are genuinely interested and want to know more about the guy in order to market it and have it be successful.
I think it works
the
other way.
In the 90s, everyone watched baseball, loved it, yep. Wanted to know more about these guys, and there were a dozen, if not more, stars in the game.
Yep.
The cool thing about Trout, too, stars.
You're sort of that meathead, that grinder, that guy just goes out and play and just is quiet. And it's just this sort of mystique
like
about it.
You go back to the 90s, whether it be Griffey or Bonds or McGuire or Sosa or Clemens or Randy Johnson or Curt Schilling or name whatever player you loved in the 90s. Pudge Rodriguez, Juan Gonzalez, Rafael Palmeiro. There's a million of them.
Vladimir Guerrero.
He didn't wear
gloves. He didn't even need pine tar. He just spit in his hands and gripped the bat. He wasn't up there playing with the Velcro.
Cal Ripken, I didn't even name him.
Yeah.
Jeter. Derek Jeter. Mariano Rivera. There were stars. Barry Larkin. Jeff Bagwell.
Manny.
Mike Piazza.
Pedro.
We're all household names. People knew who all of them were.
Yeah.
You could absolutely say there were a ton of stars, and it didn't require marketing. It required an audience that wanted to know the guys.
Even when A-Rod first wanted to come here,
they don't even realize that. Like, oh, we need to market them. Market them. People don't care.
Even a guy like Maglio or Ordonez, you knew about because it was part of the whole A-Rod Manny tray. He wanted to come here.
First time in my memory, by the way, last week I didn't watch a single minute of the All-Star
game. No, you didn't miss anything. I watched first inning.
I had something else going on on vacation. Had a big party to go to.
I watched zero of their home run derby night, and I watched the first inning because Chris Sale was pitching, and I wanted to see how Betts and Martinez did.
I didn't watch it. And you know what? Sort of happy that I didn't. Because
you didn't miss anything.
Do you know what that game was?
It was an extra inning game.
Yeah, that game is what every game is now in Major League Baseball.
4 hours, 4 days.
10 home runs, 25 strikeouts, 18 pitchers, 363 pitches, 3 hours and 34 minutes. That's what the All-Star game was. Is that fun?
No.
I'm sorry. I don't feel bad that I missed it. And I typically watch it. And there have been a lot of years in recent years where I'm like, what am I doing? I'm committed to this. I like baseball. I've always watched the All-Star game. This year, I didn't watch it. And I don't feel like I missed anything. Is that fair to say? Shaughnessy had a great item at the top of his column that was out a couple of days ago about the geeks in baseball.
Yeah. Way to geek it out.
Yeah, ruining the sport. We're definitely going to get to this with Dan Shaughnessy tomorrow.
Well, that's right, Dan's in tomorrow.
He said, and this is a quote from Brian Bannister talking to Alex Speer, that essentially baseball has become a game full of data scientists. We're finding ways to get better at what we do and provide the players with better information and better recommendations on everything we do on a daily basis. The biggest change is the mindset of get a hitter out in three pitches or less. Efficiency was the most prized thing in baseball. Now the whole art of pitching is the science of the swing and miss. When we control all the variables with a ball not being put into play as opposed to a ball being put into play and all the chaos it causes, it's worth our time. And Shaughnessy wrote, swell. Unfortunately for viewers, the chaos that Bannister abhors is actually what made the game entertaining in the first place. I don't feel like I missed much there. And now you've got the commissioner bitching about the best player in the sport not doing enough on social media. Baseball, you might have a problem that is bigger than just the marketing and the social media and the commercials. I think it goes far beyond that. Quickly, let's go to Lorraine in New Hampshire. Lorraine.
Hello.
Yeah. Hi.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, Lorraine.
Hi, guys. Hi, Zoe. Hi, Bertrand.
What's up?
You see us on TV, Lorraine?
Yeah. It's exciting. It's great. That's what I'm calling. Well, it's one of the reasons I'm calling.
Well, we need
wish you good luck with all of this.
Thank you. You know what we need, Lorraine, is like a picture of you or a picture with us so that when you call, we can put it up on TV.
That's true, Lorraine. Right? You should email us.
Seriously?
That regular. Yeah, email it in.
Email it.
Okay. Okay. What's the email?
Zo, at 985thesportshub.com.
At 98, do I put a 98?
Nope, 985. No periods in there. No dots.
985 Sports Hub.
No, no, thesportshub.com.
Thesportshub.
Yes.com.
Okay.
Aha.
Well, great.
All right, Lorraine. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you again soon. Today's takeaways are coming.
Wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Time for the takeaways here on Zolak and Bertrand. So,
well, first of all, they're brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for loss.
For life. For life.
Or take away your loss for life, your excess weight for life. The official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox.
All right, so the takeaways we go. We start with Eddie Pepperell, who on Sunday, at the age of 27, had the best final round at the British Open. Did you know this?
I did not.
Lowest score. 4-day total of 5-under.
Mm.
When he went into the clubhouse, he actually had the lead, but he then obviously didn't win.
Right.
Justin Rose bested him. Francesco Molinari obviously went on to win.
Fun to say.
But he was he went from being 36th to 6th yesterday. He went up like 30 spots on the leaderboard.
Pretty good.
With his final round. And the best part of his story yesterday, Zoe, is that he did it while he was hungover.
I was a little hungover, I won't lie. I had too much to drink last night. And, you know, I was so frustrated with yesterday that today was really, I'm not going to say a write-off, but I didn't feel like I was in the golf tournament. And whether I shot 69 or 73 today, I wouldn't have, you know, it wouldn't have been heartbreaking. But as it happens, I've shot 67. So, you know, it's a funny game.
Eddie, what time did you get to bed last night?
Well, it wasn't that late. It was probably 11, half 11. It wasn't too bad.
Just early.
I was at the IMG house, and it was there with my coach, and we just drowned sorrows for half an hour, and then we had a good chat to a few people, and it was enjoyable. Listen, I mean, I wouldn't always have a drink the night before. Sometimes I have a few drinks. You know, it's Tiger's minus 7. He didn't have a drink last night, I bet. Proper athlete.
He's a proper athlete. Me, I like to drink.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm with him, though.
I love this guy.
It's either you're either on or off. There's no like, okay, I'm gonna have one drink. You're either going to drink or you're not going to drink.
Yeah.
Nobody does that.
He didn't try and middle that. Right. He's either in or he's out.
One of my best.
I'm drinking.
One of my best games in college was the Independence Bowl game that we played. They ended up having a massive wet t-shirt contest the night before the game.
Oh.
At the hotel
bar.
You hate
that type of thing.
And
the entire team
was there. And I remember just guys throwing up in warmups, just like, oh God, it's going to be a disaster and a headache. But it makes you concentrate and
like focus, extra focus,
because you don't want to get your ass handed to you because you did something wrong and you don't want anybody to know about it. So yeah, you kind of suck it up and you grind, man. You end up having one of your better performances.
It was probably 11, half 11.
Half 11. What does that means? 11:30, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean 10:30.
Half 11.
Like halfway to 11. That definitely means 11:30.
Right?
I assume it means 11:30.
Maybe he had
I don't know what these Brits though. I've never heard it said that way.
It's probably 11, half 11.
I'm going to start saying that.
So is he a Brit or is he Scottish?
We'll get to the headlines with McCone at half 10.
Half 11.
Half 11.
Yep.
Half noon. I mean, what? Does that work? Half 11.
That works.
All right. There's that. Eddie Pepperell at the British Open. There is also the porn actress. I'm not sure she's a star, although I'm ready to give her star status based on the fact that she's 41.
Did the intern do any more research on that separates her from the rest of the field that makes her the star?
No, he doesn't do research. He has no idea what's going on.
This is your guy. I blame you for this.
This is Kiara, right?
Kiara Mia,
friend of Jimmy Garoppolo, talking about their date.
You think he said Mama Mia?
How do you guys do, you know?
Okay, what I will say is this. Jimmy and I had an amazing dinner, and he treated me with so much respect and class, and honestly, we're friends. But on that note, let me tell you this much. I've never been a fan of football. I'm officially a fan of football, and I can promise the 49ers that they will make Super Bowl and win because everything I touch turns to gold.
Oh, hello! So I gotta ask you, will you guys be going on more dates? Is this like a one-time thing?
Well,
like,
you guys are gonna have to find that out yourselves.
Okay.
Keep following.
Was it
to be continued?
Oh yeah.
Dot.
Hello. So I got to ask, like, was the date fun? You know what I mean? Like, you know, was it?
Oh, man, let me just tell you, like, he radiates just, like, on a whole different level. Like, it was fun. Hella fun. He's sexy as
Were you pleased with dessert? You know what I'm saying?
It was amazing. I thought you said that, right?
Definitely
amazing? My favorite dessert.
Oh, my
God. Oh, these porn actresses.
Isn't it something? Garoppolo has to be continued.
He radiates. It was a great dessert.
Garoppolo gets the continued. Brady gets the You know, like Giselle talking. And Brady get, you know.
He's straight class, though. Class, homie.
I'm sure he is. What a classy guy.
Yeah, absolute class individual.
Probably ordered the bottled water instead of the tap water, which made him real classy.
Get some.
Do you think she gave him the Bronx Tale? Remember where you reach through and unlock the door?
Oh,
you flip it up, Colosio.
I bet she. Yeah. I bet she unlocked the door. Among other things,
unlock that thing.
Sierra, whatever her name
McComb.
Is.
What is so funny?
McComb.
No, McComb looks like this relationship. McComb. I'm happy for Jimmy.
You look at
I'm
McComb. For Jimmy. Yeah. You look at McComb. You look at the intern. He's just standing there smiling.
It's his Tara Reid face. Is what it is.
Yeah, I agree.
This is his Tara Reid.
He's sowing his oats.
Hey, we're on TV today. First time on TV. That's good, right? That's a development.
It's good.
No more Flex Seal.
Nope.
No more like rotisserie ovens or whatever the hell else they sell in the midday. You've now got us. And so naturally the calls, the volume of calls might increase. A lot more people tuning in. Here was the first call today. All right. Tom is in Quincy. He's up first. First phone Quincy. Call of the day here on Zolak and Bertrand. Tom.
Hey, Bertrand. I just want to talk about the Patriots and Brady and Belichick.
Yes.
Oh, this is Brady's team. This is not Belichick's team. This is the Brady way. Belichick, as far as I'm concerned, if Bledsoe didn't get hurt, he would have traded Brady. He would have got rid of Brady. He'd be out of football 10, 15 years ago.
If Bledsoe didn't get hurt, from people that I talked to, he was about 2 weeks away from making that move. Post-injury.
I don't think so. I mean, I think Belichick's a terrible coach. I really do.
He's awful.
And if it wasn't for Brady, you'd never even hear his name.
Right.
So you think Belichick should go? You think he needs to go?
It wouldn't matter to me. If Brady played another team, he'd be in 10 Super Bowls.
Who would you have? Who would you rather have as coach? Yeah.
You know, Belichick lost the last 5 Super Bowls, actually. If it wasn't for Brady turning that team around against Atlanta, I'm telling you, they would have lost that. And if it wasn't for Malcolm Butler, they would have lost that one. He was out coaching the last 5
Super
Bowls.
I think they would have won one.
And we're off and running.
So they lost 5 now.
We're off and running now. They lost 5 Super Bowls. If he leaves, no big deal.
Right.
NBD.
NBD. Day one of Zolak and Bertrand in the books on the simulcast. How about that?
Yeah, just please keep listening on radio.
That's right. Don't forget.
I much prefer you listen on radio than watch on TV.
98.5 The Sports Hub app. Tap that app. And don't forget, tell your smart speakers, hey, Google, just play Zolak and Bertrand.
No. Play 98.5 The Sports Hub Zone.
That's play it all day.
Back all tomorrow day. At 10.
Bye. Tap that app.
I don't think so. I mean, I think Belichick's a terrible coach. I really do.
Coming up next.
Great call.